Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Of the hour. But right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Oh, Joe Patrick joining me now. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. You know, the sun's shining out here at Flowery Branch. We got picks rolling in right now, so... You know, things are great, Chris. Things are great. How are you?
Oh,
how are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing, Joe Patrick. All right. I know this is a tough task for you, but help me make sense of the Michael Penix pick, please.
Okay. I mean, listen, I was also shocked, too, when it happened. Still, if I'm talking right now, if I'm honest with myself, I can't say that I would do what they did. But I do better understand the rationale behind it, which is, you know, the fact that they're shoring up the future. And honestly, it's a conservative move from the team. I think an aggressive move is to try to make the team as best as they can possibly be for the next 3 years while you have Kirk Cousins. I think that's the context that we assume that this team was operating in. But you know, to me, what they did, despite the fact that it was shocking in drafting Penix, I think it's shocking in a conservative way, which is that you're drafting a player with this absolutely premium draft pick for someone who's not going to help you this year. He's not going to be value added for you this year outside of being an insurance policy on Kirk Cousins. And even, you know, even on as far as the insurance goes, you know, I don't even know if he's going to be the backup for the first half of the year. You know, we'll see how that develops. We've got Taylor Heinicke technically still on the roster. We'll see if he stays on the roster. I think he probably will, because they're not going to save that much money by releasing him after he, you know, they signed him to a different contract, or they restructured his contract. So it's a fascinating move. And I'll say this about it, Chris, I respect whether it works out or not. I respect the conviction that this front office had to do something that they knew was going to be panned by the fan base. And it's kind of funny to see the reaction that's happening both here locally and around the country, because when I look at more of the national media, yeah, of course there's people obviously on different sides of it, but I feel like I'm seeing more positive sentiment from national pundits or analysts or whatever. And the sentiment is a lot more negative, at least in the immediate term after they made the pick here locally, because I think, again, to kind of go back to it, we all wanted to see them put out the best possible team they could field for the next year or two. And I don't think that you can say that that's going to be the case based upon them drafting a player who's not going to see the field during those years.
What did you make of the explanation from Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot? Did you think it was sufficient for fans?
Well, I don't think that their explanation was necessarily going to change someone's opinion on it, but I think that they at least put out there what they believed. And I asked Terry the question. I think he kind of, you know, got around the answer. I should probably go back and reread what he said, but you know, something that I asked him in the press conference was, you know, has the experience of the last 2 years with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and kind of the disaster, frankly, that was, has it kind of changed his perspective on how to properly staff the quarterback position? Because it's a unique position in all of sports where you only have one, you know, there's only one of them out there at a time. But also, it, you know, if something goes wrong, the whole team goes kind of up in flames, essentially. You can't really operate as an offensive unit without that player. And they clearly wanted to make sure that they were never in the situation that they got kind of put into again. And you could see then that happening at the end of Kirk Cousins' tenure here, you know, because we all know, obviously, time comes for everybody, and we don't know if that's going to be in 2 years for Kirk or three or four. But whenever that happened, the team certainly wanted to make sure that they were prepared and they weren't just kind of stuck in a lurch again or having to, you know, trade up some crazy amount to try to get up in that a future draft to take a quarterback. And especially, I think it also speaks to then not really seeing a quarterback that they really, really love, like they love Michael Penix, that's going to be available for them in the draft, maybe especially next year. So, you know, I have to think that, you know, Terry Fontenot has been affected by what has happened here in Flowery Branch and in Atlanta with the Falcons at the quarterback position over the last couple of years, and they were just going to make sure that they were never put in that situation again.
Talking with our buddy Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 7:30 in Atlanta United pregame. All right, so you get over the shock value of day one. Then you get to the first pick last night, and the Falcons trade up, and they take Rook Arororo from Clemson. And I was actually listening to you guys when they picked him, and I now know how to say his name, Joe. Actually, thanks to you. So congratulations on that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Good tip.
Okay, so I think at that point, most Falcons fans were ready to throw their TVs out the window because the guys that were on the board, like Kamari Lassiter and Cooper DeJean and TJ Tampa, and it was just they followed up something that the majority of the fans were like, WTF, with another pick that was WTF times two.
Yeah. And I frankly thought when they had traded up, I thought Cooper DeJean was the pick. I thought that he was the guy they were going to select because obviously it's a big need. And I thought that Cooper DeJean would have kind of offered you some flexibility to be able to play corner this year. And then in future years, you could potentially move him to safety if you know, maybe in the post Jesse Bates era potentially, or if you know, just got a 1 year placeholder at the other safety spot this year, you could, you know, move DeJean in there next year for the long term. I thought that he would have been an interesting piece, but you know, something that I was saying in the lead up to this draft was that based upon who the Falcons end up selecting, we were going to kind of learn a lot about their mentality toward the draft and towards some of the players. And I think that what we've learned over the past day, the past, 24, 36 hours, whatever it's been, is, you know, that they didn't really value a lot of these corners, or they valued the defensive linemen over them, or they at least felt that the need on the defensive line and to really staff that up and get more bodies in that rotation was more important for them than to try to take a shot on one of these corners to step in and be the starter. And so that I think that once the Arororo pick came down, that was basically the end of any chance that the Falcons were basically going to find their CB2 in this draft. Because I think once you got past that, there wasn't really the player out there that was going to be able to step in and clearly be a level above a guy like Clark Phillips. And I think that he is key in this, because if you go back and look at the context of Clark Phillips, he was a fourth round pick. So he was like their first pick on day three of the draft last year. And the scouting report on Clark Phillips was always, it was never about his skills as a corner and his technical ability. It was all about his size and the fact that he could potentially find himself just being overmatched by some of these NFL wide receivers. But I think it's important to kind of note that, because, you know, a lot of these corners that they had the potential to draft here, you know, I think that the Falcons didn't really see any of them as being so far above and beyond Clark Phillips that, you know, it was worth going after them, that those players were going to add more value to you than drafting some of these defensive linemen who I think they see a clear need to give them enough bodies along that front to take some of the pressure off of Grady Jarrett, who's coming off an ACL injury. And then David Onyemata, who I don't think we've talked enough about the time that he missed last year. The second half of last season, Onyemata was dealing with an ankle injury, and it was really kind of lingering. He was not able to get over it. And these guys are on the other side of 30 now. So I think that we're starting to see them just it kind of along the lines of the Penix situation, but just load up on some of these defense alignments so that you have kind of a succession plan there to go forward. And I think that, you know, you take all that, that becomes your plan in the draft. And I still think there is a need for a corner. I talked about it, I think, more than most people. I was suggesting that they should take a corner with their first pick. But I think that now we're much more looking like that's going to be addressed with a free agent signing. Don't know how impressive that free agent's going to be. A guy like Akella Witherspoon is still out there who Raheem Morris had with the Rams. He could potentially be a solution for them. And you're probably looking at, you know, a short-term one-year contract for one of these guys who can just step in, make sure you have something there, competition at least at the spot. I think Clark Phillips is still probably, regardless of who they bring in, I think that he's looking like he's going to be the likely starter at that position, but at least you'll have some competition. But yeah, ultimately, I think that's the drawback of when you draft Michael Penix with your first pick. I think that you were assumed at that point that you were going to kind of not be able to fill one of these gaps that we thought the Falcons had needs for heading into the draft.
Yeah, Joe, the one thing about Clark, unfortunately, is I'm sure you've stood next to him too. I'm 5'9 on a good day. He's 2.5 inches shorter than I am.
Yeah, you're looking down on him. Yeah, it's just, I know. It's shocking. It's actually shocking when you stand next.
And he got when he did play in the couple of games last season towards the end, he got burned a couple of times. And it was just mismatches.
Yeah, definitely. I think you could definitely see the size being a factor at the NFL level, as to where I think his technical ability was able to overcome some of that disparity at the college level. But I will say this, I think that there's an idea or a hope that a more zone-heavy scheme this year for the Falcons will mask some of the size disparity, because he was playing in a lot of man-to-man coverage. In the Ryan Nielsen system, it was a lot of man-to-man. And I think what we can expect from this Jimmy Lake system is a lot more cover three and just or zone coverage in general, where that's kind of where he excels, which is an ability to sit in a zone and then really react quickly. And that's something that they were highlighting with Cooper DeJean as well. And a lot of the highlights was, you know, an ability to like sit in zone, then butt and jump on routes and you know, intercept and pass break up passes and whatnot. Maybe that's the idea with Clark Phillips going into next year. But regardless, I think regardless of whether it's Clark Phillips or whoever, that is going to be a position that's highly scrutinized. And I think it's going to be something that this team is going to have to work around. Listen, I don't think that this Falcons defense next year is going to be a top half of the league defense in terms of quality. In fact, I think it's probably going to be more in the bottom 10 in terms of like talent level player for player across the board. But I think what this team is going to be leaning into is, and this is, you know, goes back to Raheem Morris's time in LA, is an ability for him to really just coach these guys up and try to leverage scheme as much as possible to at least, you know, you're not expecting this defense to be a top 10 defense, but if they can be league average with, you know, bottom 10 talent, then that means that you have an advantage on the other side where you've leveraged a lot of resources into this offense. And if they can be truly a top 10 offense or maybe potentially even a top five, I know that sounds crazy, but I think that they have that potential with a very good quarterback in Kirk Cousins, then you can kind of overcome some of the deficiencies on defense and you can still, you know, have a positive record and be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
No, Joe, I don't think that's crazy. What I think is crazy is when you have the possibility of having a top five offense, drafting another quarterback. That's what sounds crazy to me, Joe. All right, as we're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, maybe, I don't want to say the lone bright spot because that's not fair, but the main bright spot is probably the third-round pick of Braylon Trice. Is he going to start day one?
I think he's probably the most kind of plug-and-play starter kind of player that they could have possibly drafted in that spot. He's got the physical build for it. He showed the production in college, not just the traits. Like, it's funny because Ruka Roro was drafted earlier, and he is more of a traits guy who only started playing football his junior year of high school, so he's still relatively new to the sport. Braylon Trice has just been doing it a lot longer, more refined, but I think maybe teams had some issues with his length. He's not the longest guy, so he doesn't have some of the traits that some of the guys showed, but I do think that he's going to be a serviceable player for the Falcons in terms of being able to generate those pressures. And I think that Brandon Dorlus as well, the player who the Falcons drafted first today, kind of a similar mold with these guys. You know, they're a bit tweener types, but I think they can move them around the line. And Brandon Dorlus showed, he also was a very, racked up the pressures in college. So there's a lot of production from those two players. And, they're definitely prospects. Nobody when you're drafting in these kind of third, fourth rounds are surefire things. But I think that as far as getting a guy who could potentially be plug and play into your starting lineup, I think Braylon Trice was as good as it possibly could have gotten for the Falcons.
All right. It was just announced a couple of minutes before you came on that, Alabama running back Jace McClellan will be joining the Falcons. I was interested to see if they would take a running back in the later rounds. He's a really good player. Do you think he has an actual chance to come in and be the third back on this team? I know they have a couple of guys like Carlos Washington, but Jace McClellan was a stud at Alabama.
Yeah, Carlos Washington. Also, a guy in Avery Williams who I think technically you would classify him as a running back. You could also potentially classify him as a wide receiver. He's more of kind of one of those, jackknife kind of guys who can do a bunch of different things, or Swiss Army knife, I should say, types of players. But yeah, I like the potential, and I did think that they would add a running back at some point in this draft. And Jace McClellan, I think, is a guy who has some potential, probably because he's a bit of an unknown quantity because he's just been behind some really great backs in recent years at Alabama. He only got to start there for 1 year. I did know, and when you look at his numbers, he doesn't stand out remarkably like some other running backs do. But he's got some potential. He's got the biggest hands of any running back in this draft, which is always something to look at because it helps with ball security and just have more pressure points on the ball when you're carrying it. It also can help in blocking and receiving as well. So I think there's some potential there with some of his physical attributes. But overall, I think you could just look at a guy who's going to be a reliable kind of as far as the lightning and thunder goes with running backs, he's definitely of the thunder mold where he's just going to be somebody who you hope can, eat some of those dirty yards and, grind some of them out. And I think the Falcons have been pretty fortunate the last couple of years with regards to the health of their running backs, but you can't really rely on that every year at a position that probably is more likely to get banged up than any other. So I think it's smart to go out there and always, to me, running back is one you almost always want to be reinforcing. Similarly, to the way that you want to kind of continually be reinforcing on the offensive line. Obviously there's more positions and available places to play on the offensive line, but you can never have too many running backs. It's unusual what the Falcons did last year by drafting one with a top 10 pick.
Eric, hit it before we let Joe go. All right, Joe, with their final pick in the NFL draft in 2024, the Atlanta Falcons give us a little treat and they take Zion Logue, defensive lineman from the University of Georgia.
I filled the dog quota.
Yeah, I don't think he's the second coming of Grady Jarrett or Aaron Donald in the sixth round, but hey, listen, can't say we didn't take a dog, right?
No. Hey, the Falcons drafted a guy who went to my high school, J.D. Bertrand, here from Blessed Trinity in Roswell. So that was fun.
How about that? All right, Joe, appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll keep breaking this thing down as we go, but it was certainly an eventful 2024 draft for the Falcons. I think we can say that.
It's been fun talking to you throughout the process, Chris. Always good time.
All right, Joe, appreciate it as always. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.